CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister.
The internet is listening to us again, Brian.
As they do.
Yes. Well,
I mean, not very many of them, unfortunately.
I think Instagram's listening to me this time.
Okay.
I turned off the show. I was done, and I'm like, I was bouncing out, and I was like, let me look at Instagram, see what's going on. Mm-hmm. The first ad I got, now, actually, before I tell you what the first ad was, I sent it to you, you know what it is, but for the audience, last week's show, I talked about how I was getting headaches because I was leaving my phone on at night, and I forgot to put it on airplane mode, so all the waves were going into my brain, and it was giving me, you know, headaches in the morning. I turned that off. Alas, no more headaches. Same day, show's coming out. I literally get ads on Instagram for tinfoil hats. Oh, God, this company, Lambs, they block 99% of EMF with the world's first radiation-proof apparel.
Oh, my God. Yes, Lambs. That's very appropriately named.
I know. And you can get EMF blocking underwear, because you need that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get a beanie for your son for only $70.
Well,
yeah. It's surprising.
I mean, it's a good target market, rich suckers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The baseball hats are like $90.
Okay.
I'm like, but my ears are uncovered and I put the phone up to my ears. So you're kind of, Anyway, okay. Yeah. I don't think they're going for scientific accuracy for the target market they're shooting for.
No.
So I just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
So you were right, Brian. Google search results are getting worse.
I've been saying it for years now.
Yeah. I mean, and we've all known it. We've seen it, but it has now been quantified.
It is confirmed by scientists.
And here's the TLDR on the article we found. It's affiliate marketers still.
Yep.
I thought they were gone. I thought that whole thing was done. I thought everybody moved into influence marketing instead of, you know, just basically SEO spam. But it turns out
the influencer marketing is a purely social media phenomenon. The old school, you know, old school web is still all about affiliate marketing.
I didn't know anybody was still there.
Yeah, they're still there, Jason.
Yeah, it's still apparently a very lucrative market too.
Yeah, and it's ruined search.
Yeah. And Google says that they're still on it, but, you know.
They're not.
Yeah. They're busy with AI.
Yeah.
And everything else. But it gets worse because Google News now is getting hammered with AI content that is basically plagiarizing the actual news content that also shows up on Google News. So.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah. 404 Media, who I still love. They put out a good article on it called Google News is Boosting Garbage AI-Generated Articles, which it is. But here's the thing about Google News is Google News is a completely different beast than Google Search. Mm-hmm. Google News is a black box. You can't get any insights into anything. And like I told the story I hear about MetBlogs years ago, how we got kicked out of Google News. The only way to get back in was to have somebody walk down the hall that we knew at Google and ask them to put us back in, and we were back in 3 minutes. This is not a very well-run organization inside of the Googs, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So they're letting people through. And here's what they say. They're like, yeah, well, we don't really check to see if it's written by an AI or a human. It doesn't really matter to us. It's news. So, hey, have at it.
What a wonderful world we've created for ourselves.
It is just going to get worse.
It's
just going to get worse.
The AI thing is just going to make everything so much worse. Oh, well.
In the news.
Well, speaking of places to go get news, here's another thing that we called, Jason. We're losing another one. Instagram's founders are shutting down Artifact, their year-old news app. I can't believe it's only been around for a year. It feels like much longer.
It feels like a hell of a lot longer.
It does. When it first launched, I think you and I both quite liked it. It was pretty cool, but they leaned in heavy to the social aspect of things and the algorithms.
Gamification.
And gamification of news, which was the big thing that we're like, fuck this. And I left it on my phone for a bit, and I did play around with it a little bit and saw how bad the algorithm actually is. Like I would only click on like BuzzFeed listicles that popped up and stuff like that. And pretty soon, no news whatsoever in Artifact appeared for me. It was all just BuzzFeed lists and softcore porn news, I guess is what you would call it. I deleted it a long time ago. They've finally given up on it. It's no longer a thing. We have built something that a core group of users love, but we have concluded that the market opportunity isn't big enough to warrant continued investment in this way.
The core group of users were the employees and the founders.
I think so, because like people just kind of gave up on it. That's not a good way to consume news. Or get it, really. So
it lasted a month, I think. If that. Because what it did when it first came out, I liked it. I thought it was cool. Yeah. It looked good on the iPad, which for me is a plus. Yeah. I like things that look good on the iPad.
Yeah, and it collected news sources from all the different places that you and I were going to anyways, all in one place. Great.
Yeah. And it is ironic that it's the Instagram founders who made something that looked good on an iPad. Anyway, it's the day that the gamification came out, I looked at it and I'm like, done.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. Well, it's gone for good now.
Yep.
Or at least in a month or so. I can't remember exactly what the article said. So if you're a big fan of it, go check, because you're only going to have it for a little bit longer.
Say your goodbyes.
More layoffs. Google is laying off hundreds of workers who sell ads to big businesses. This is coming after the laying off thousands of employees from Pixel, Nest, Fitbit, Google Assistant, and core engineering divisions. They are cutting hundreds of roles on its advertising sales team because they're basically going to pivot to AI for that.
Yep.
So that's fun. Here's their statement. I like this one. Every year we go through a rigorous process to structure our team to provide the best service to our ads customers, the company released in a statement. We map customers to the right specialist teams and sales channels to meet their service needs. As part of this, a few hundred roles globally are being eliminated, and impacted employees will be able to apply for open roles on the team or elsewhere at Google, conveniently ignoring the fact that they've also fired people from everywhere else at Google, so they probably exactly. don't need anybody.
You can apply all you want. We're just not going to pick up.
And they aren't done yet. Google CEO says more layoffs are expected throughout the year in an internal memo, which has been confirmed by Google that, yes, that's true. The exec explains that the latest role eliminations are about removing layers to simplify execution and drive velocity in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Driving velocity.
We love velocity.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, that was a long time ago where I won a bet with you. I believe it was the Twitter stock bet or one of those things. And you sent me some booze through Drizzly.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Drizzly is no more. So pour one out for old Driz. They were bought by Uber a while back, which to me, I still think that whole thing was just buying up the competition and shutting it down.
I think so as well. Yeah,
they said they tried to run it as a quote-unquote independent entity inside of Uber. They bought it for $1.1 billion, which back then for them was nothing. That was like half a day's worth of, paid rides that they were giving away anyway.
But it is an insane amount of money when you think about it.
Oh,
insane.
It's disgusting.
Just for a company that packaged up some Bud Light.
Yeah.
And then sent it to you.
That was it. It's just they bought the user base is what they did.
Yeah.
So cost per acquisition for their users was insane. But they shut it down. It's going away. They're just going to focus on doing the same exact thing that Drizzly does with Uber Eats, which is probably what they had planned all along.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, I'll pour one out for Drizzly. It got me through the initial blush of the pandemic. Mm. That's for sure. Until I realized that I could just wear a mask and go to BevMo.
Save 50%. Yeah.
And save 50%. Yeah.
They were not cheap.
They were not cheap at all. So, all right. Well, big surprise there. Not really. Somebody else who no longer has a job, Sheryl Sandberg. She has decided to leave the Meta board. She has stepped down as COO a long time ago, or a couple of years ago, 2022. So, 2 years ago now. She's been on the board since then, but she's finally cutting all ties with Meta. So she's leaning out.
All right. I forgot that she was even on the board. I thought she was gone.
Well, the board is so useless. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's right. Because Zuckerberg has all the power. So they're just like, yeah, that's just a free paycheck. I'm surprised.
Yeah, they're just collecting money, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, oh God, yeah. I have a Facebook issue right now. For some reason, I'm getting charged $2 every other day from Facebook advertising on my Amex. I have never bought advertising on Facebook. I never will buy advertising on Facebook. And of course, since it's such a small amount of money, the people at Amex are just like, oh, it's
they
no big
care.
Deal. I'm like, well, it is a big deal because somebody has my goddamn credit card and they're using it to buy advertisement from the devil. So stop it. And they're like, yeah, we'll get to it.
Right.
Fuck you, Amex. Anyway, back to the Zuck. Mm-hmm. Zuckerberg has a new goal because apparently the metaverse, he was getting bored with it. So he's moving on to AGI. That's right. The Zuck wants to do – he wants to open source and create artificial general intelligence. Sort of. Okay. Sort of. Here's the rub. He doesn't really know what it is yet. And he says that nobody really knows what it is yet. You know, he's like, I don't have a one sentence pithy definition. You can quibble about if general intelligence is akin to human level intelligence, or is it like human plus a subscription fee for the intelligence, I guess, or is it some far future super intelligence?
That hardly seems like a quibble to me, Jason. That seems like wildly different things.
Yes, yes. But do you go quibble amongst yourselves?
Okay.
He says, but to me, the important part is actually the breadth of it, which is that intelligence has all these different capabilities where you have to be able to reason and have intuition, unlike most of your users.
That statement is one of the most unintelligent things I've ever read.
That's why he needs AGI to rewrite it for him. Oh, and then when he was asked about, the metaverse, because it's going so well, he says, I don't know how to more unequivocally state that we're continuing to focus on Reality Labs and the metaverse. He still says that Meta is spending north of $15 billion a year on it. Now, you think Drizzly money was stupid money. $15 billion a year. And all they've got so far is a pair of Ray-Bans that actually anybody likes. Nobody really cares about the Oculus anymore.
That's not all they have, Jason. We have to remember that he renamed his entire company based on this.
Yeah,
we have Meta.
Yes, and next week we'll have AGI.
I know.
So they're going to rename it to that. But I think AGI is like a agriculture company or a insurance company.
I always think Athletic Greens because they advertise everywhere. Oh,
Jesus. Powders.
Yeah. It'll make you healthy and you'll lose weight. Just drink this slop.
No, it doesn't. I tried it for years. It didn't do a damn thing for me. I'm sorry. But hey, if they want to advertise on this show, I will change my tune. Hey, wink.
Yeah, that's right. We stand by everything that we advertise for.
Actually, we do. That's the sad part.
I know, it's sad.
That's why we don't have any advertisers. We hate everything.
Well, there's some news in OpenAI and general intelligence. Just a few days ago, OpenAI's usage policies page explicitly stated that the company prohibits the use of its technology for military and warfare purposes. That's pretty good, since they were trying to be all like wonderful about AI and its future. Well, they took that out. So,
whoops.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, apparently that server bill was coming due, and they're like, we need to find new streams of revenue. Let's blow some shit up.
I pulled a bunch of different quotes from the article, but really, that's it. So they pulled a Google. They're no longer saying that they won't do evil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, military purposes doesn't exactly, mean it's evil.
Well, it depends on which side you're on, I suppose.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. So
Tomato.
Yeah, just don't be sending it, selling a subscription to Kim Jong-un. That's all.
That should be fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is all going to work out well.
Yes, I'm sure Kim Jong-un is looking up VPNs for North Korea right now. So you can be Joe Smith.
Hey, Kim, gog.show/VPN.
Yeah, there you go.
No logs.
There you go. No logs. Oh, God. Speaking of warfare, I saw this one, I think it was over at NBC. U.S. tech companies prepare for potential drone attacks as international strikes spark concern. Now, let's see, if they would have listened to our show 10 years ago, we'd have said, hey, this is coming, start preparing. But they're like, nah, we're going to hang back. Some companies have been doing some research on it. But remember the Eagles? Don't forget the Eagles.
Very effective.
very effective. Unless you're an eagle, then you're like, ow, 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 ow.
Well, again, depends on which side you're on, Jason.
Depends on which side you're on.
If you're an eagle, not so good.
No, not so good. But it's, I mean, it's an interesting article talking about what people are trying to do in response to what they've seen in Ukraine and over in, Israel and all the other places where people are using basically off-the-shelf drones to strap little bombs to them and go boom.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The laws here in the United States are still kind of jacked up because you have to be a federal officer right now to be able to take a drone out of the sky. Just remember the guy who shot his neighbor's drone out of the sky with a shotgun and then went to jail. Yeah. So don't shoot your neighbor's drones down, people. You can't do that. So they're working on laws to fix that because apparently the DHS's mandate to be able to take down drones is about to end soon. And there's nothing coming down the line in Congress to say, hey, yeah, maybe let's extend that. It is a mess as far as it goes to drones. And drones are getting better and cheaper, and nobody's paying that much attention to it because they're still saying that car bombs and things like that are much more prevalent today than drones are. But I'm like,
that's going to change very fast. A drone is a lot cheaper than a car.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put as much stuff in it, but you can buy 20 drones and put a little bit in it and fly them all to the same place and still blow the same shit up. Yep. So, and the other thing is they're working on different techniques that I think seem short-sighted to me. It's just like, okay, I'm going to be a normal guy and I'm going to strap a little bomb to a drone. And I'm going to fly it somewhere straight at it and go boom. It's like, okay, well, what if I take that drone up 6,000 feet and then drop a, you know, just a straight kinetic payload down into the middle of SoFi Stadium.
Like an iPhone.
Yes, like an iPhone. Yes, it will survive, people. It will survive. Oh, we don't know if it'll survive AstroTurf.
Let's try that. Let's get a drone. Get a drone, Jason.
Let's get a YouTube video, Brian. Let's become scientists. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're not thinking about the other use cases of it. I think the only person that's really done something insane, of course, is Palmer Luckey, who has built a fleet of autonomous, basically rocket ships, like little tiny rocket ships called Roadrunners that can fly around and shoot shit out of the sky. I don't know. It's a mess. I think silly string. I think we need to have a lot of drones that have silly string cans attached to them.
And I think fishnet stockings, man. Since the Goss scene went out years ago, the manufacturers have been in trouble. Let's do fishnet stockings above everything. That'll take
fishnet care. Stockings, and then we can do flamethrowers that are Aquanet based.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
Now we need to weaponize eyeliner somehow, and we're in business.
We use that to go up to the front and blacken out the cameras.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. All right. My entire 14-year-old stockpile of things that I had in my bathroom are now useful again.
Excellent. Excellent. And since we can't focus on how to fix the drone problem, but what we can do is criminalize selfies in Las Vegas. That's right. Oh, God. Las Vegas has implemented a new law that prohibits tourists from stopping to take selfies on pedestrian bridges along the Strip. People who violate the law may face misdemeanor charges, up to 6 months in jail, or a $1,000 fine.
All right. That's dumb.
Well, here's what they're saying is the purpose. The purpose is not to, you know, poop on anybody's parade.
Right.
What it is to make sure that the pedestrian traffic keeps flowing, because what they're seeing is that there's a lot of crime involved when people stop to take selfies. People get robbed and mugged and things like that. They're like, give me that camera. You don't need a selfie. I need some cash. That's what they're claiming is the problem. So,
I mean, I get it, but I also it's a great shot when you're on those bridges. It looks cool. Of course, people are going to stop and take photos.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's what you do. Put up walls and then, rain on everybody's parade. There you go.
Oh, well. So, yeah. All right. Vegas just got less fun.
Yep. But hey, we don't hate everything. So check out this next ad.
Media Candy.
So I've talked about the kids show Bluey before and just how good it is. And it's not really just for kids. It's wonderful. And I've both laughed uproariously and also shed a tear or two. And there's a particular episode that's come out recently that a lot of people have been talking about because it's fucking phenomenal, man. It's really good. It's Bluey's cricket episode. I put a link in the show notes because obviously I don't know anything about cricket. And they talk about how it left Australians in tears and Americans puzzled. No, it fucking didn't. We get it. It's a sport. I don't know anything about that sport. And it still was an amazing episode. And I got the point. Okay. Duh. So fantastic. We weren't puzzled. We understood. I cried. Okay. Fuck off, Guardian.
You're kind of a Canadian now, so maybe you have a loophole.
No, I'm still an American citizen. Thank you very much. Okay. Started watching a new show with my wife on Netflix, The Brother's Son, or The Brother's Soon, actually, because that's the way they pronounce it. It is fantastic, man. This is like old school, like Chinese gangster meets LA hipster, Instagram-y fun stuff. It's awesome. It's really fun. And of course, Michelle Yao is in it as well. And it's just it's a really good show. I'm enjoying it a lot. We're about 4 episodes in. Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. I will check it out.
Yeah, I think you'd dig it.
Now, Brian, I have a topic here that I need to talk to you about. Have you seen The Bear?
I have not. It is on my wife's must-watch list now, so apparently I'm going to watch it soon.
Okay, because it won like a metric shit ton of awards.
Yeah, it did.
So I sat down with my roommate and we watched the first episode. Mm-hmm. By the end of the episode, she was about to have a panic attack and I was about to have another stroke or a seizure. It was so loud, frenetic. My left eye was twitching for 2 days and I could not, it seriously like put me into a spin. It was so fucking annoying.
Okay. On the Blair Witch scale, how bad?
Oh, it was, I don't know if you could put it on the Blair Witch scale because it's basically a lot of people arguing. Mm. And yelling. It's a kitchen environment, and they're just people who are assholes, not listening to each other. They're screaming that, and they're opening storylines and plot points that they don't even, you know, remotely come to fruition. It was just an incoherent mess, and I think that's a style that people like now.
Yeah, it
not
seems
me,
to be
personally, but it was just, and there was no redeeming quality as far as I could tell to almost anyone in the entire thing, except like one little girl who came in to make dinner for everybody. And they didn't even say how good the dinner was. It was just like, I don't know. I need to know. Somebody tell me what the appeal of this show is because I don't see it at all. And I'm still physically traumatized from it. Like I can't even think about it. And my left eye starts twitching. It's yeah. So it needs a warning, like an epilepsy warning. I'm not joking. It does.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know when I get around to it. We're going to finish off The Brothers Soon first, but I think The Bear is next for our joint viewing.
Okay. And there's another show on Netflix making the rounds called The Trust, A Game of Greed.
Okay.
Man, this was...
This is obviously like based on Traitors' success?
No, everybody's comparing it to Traitors. I think it's based on The Prisoner's Dilemma.
Okay.
What it is it's 12 people are put into a house. There's $250,000 in the pot. And from that point out... If nobody does anything bad, everybody splits the money.
Okay.
Let me just say they're down to 6 people right now, so you know that that didn't work out.
Right.
Yeah, it's very – actually, they're down to 5 now, I think. Last episode is next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a very interesting look into human nature. So I don't know if I can recommend it or not, but if you're into that kind of thing, sure. It can be unpleasant at points, and there are a couple of people in there that are actually pretty stand-up people, so that's kind of good. But it's I don't know if I can recommend it with a good conscience. It's one of those that you just have to kind of make your own decision on that. I won't endorse it I'm just not going to endorse it.
Okay.
She-Hulk season 2, unfortunately, looks like it won't be coming back.
That sucks because I actually really enjoyed that show.
I really enjoyed that show too. That really does suck.
Yeah, I hear it's because apparently it just costs too much. The transformation from her into, you know, She-Hulk is too expensive. And I'm just like, look, they managed this in the 70s. They hired Lou Ferrigno. Like, get Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones, paint her green, and that's the transformation. There we go. We don't need to spend all that money anymore. The show was damn funny, man.
It was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was great. Work around this, people. You don't need to spend because use AI for Christ's sake.
Make it a cartoon.
Do it with Midjourney. I don't care.
No, it was really fun. Yeah. It's too bad.
Yeah, I don't need those effects. Yeah. Whatever. It was the writing. It was fun. Oh, well.
Cancel a couple of those other crappy ones that you have on deck.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a few that they could cut.
Cut Echo, as far as I'm concerned. I watched the first episode of that, and it was a snooze fest.
Oh, I couldn't even. I don't want to watch a thing based on a tertiary character. Come on.
That's all it is anymore.
That's true.
She-Hulk was a tertiary character, Jason.
As soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Don't. Hawkeye, same kind of thing. Yeah,
movies on Ant-Man, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be seeing any more of those. Mm. Fargo, this season has wrapped up. Oh, my God. I think this might be the best one yet. I really
got to get on that show.
Oh, it's so good. Right. It's so good. Yeah. And Keeley was just unbelievably good in this. She was so good. I mean, you watch her compared to how she was in Ted Lasso, and you wouldn't know they're the same person.
Right.
I mean, you seriously wouldn't. I did get around to watching the trailer for The Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good.
No, it's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty. I can't remember if it matches the story or not because it was so long ago that we read that first book. Yeah.
Well, they don't really give much away. Like, I don't know. We'll see. It's intrigued me enough to watch it when it comes out.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm just not going to, I'm not going to emotionally invest in it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm not because I don't like the second two books. So this is one and done for me.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe they're going to foundation it and it has nothing to do with the books and it might turn out okay. You know, everybody's saying they really like the second season of Foundation. So
yeah, they're all wrong. Knows?
Well, and this has the Game of Thrones team, so we can expect the last season on this to be garbage
anyway.
That's true. Yeah. Well, March 21st, we will find out. So I have a story about Weird, the Al Yankovic story. Okay. So after you and I talked about it on the show, mm-hmm. I got a note on Discord from Killer Q, and he basically says that it's a huge mistake that I'm not watching it and I need to check it out because it's not what I think it's going to be. And he says it's an absolute 10 out of 10 right up there with UHF. And
UHF is a 10 out of 10?
Actually, it is. If you're into that,
it's good, but 10 out of 10 is pretty.
Okay. But here's the one thing that he says. The pool party scenes is one of the best things ever shot on film. Haha, it's so smart. So after this, I had it queued up for, he sent this to me the day before Christmas and I just got around to checking it out this week or last week. It is so fucking good. it is not anything what I expected. It's a parody. I didn't realize that. I thought it was an actual documentary. It's not. It is not even close to a documentary. I should have known the first credits that come up are made by Funny or Die. So it is well worth it. Have a couple cocktails, kick back, watch it. I did not have any cocktails, but you should.
Yeah.
And it was, I was in tears laughing so hard, like many, many times. And he is absolutely right. The pool party scene is one of the greatest bits of film ever made. It should be enshrined in every pantheon dedicated to the art of filmmaking. It was so fucking good. So,
all right. Well, yes. I've got nothing on deck tonight, so I'll fire up the Drizzly app and, oh, crap.
It's Uber Eats for you or nothing, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I think the EU is here to save us all, Jason. We've talked a lot about GDPR and their privacy stuff and everything else. Well, they're now going after streaming and trying to get artists paid fairly.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. But the European Parliament is calling for new regulations to ensure streaming services will pay artists fairly. They're calling for more transparency around how algorithms generate suggestions for which artists to stream and what tracks get the most promotion. So that's great. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck. So I didn't know that this was a thing. There's apparently a George Carlin AI special out there called I'm Glad I'm Dead.
Yeah.
So, and his George Carlin's daughter is saying it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. It lacks any soul. It doesn't have my dad's timing. It doesn't have my dad's anything. Okay. So I went and I grabbed it and looked at it. It's on YouTube. There's a link in the show notes. And well, she's right. It is garbage. It's absolute garbage. It sounds terrible. It sounds like him like maybe 30% of the time in the 2 minutes that I listen to it. Because of course, all the imagery that they're showing during the video is basically Midjourney, you know, DALL-E type of graphics that come up. The comedy is not that funny. There's nothing good about it. I can't believe that this thing is actually still up.
I'm sure there are a gazillion lawsuits pending about it. Yeah.
I mean, if there's not, there really should be.
Definitely.
But I figured as soon as a lawsuit was filed, it would have been taken down. Yeah. But I'm with her, man. Comedy is safe from AI as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think so.
Because AI does not understand trauma. AI doesn't understand pain, you know?
Until Zuckerberg gets his general intelligence, I think we're safe.
A robot making a robot. Great. Oh, man. I found two podcasts, and I know you love Rick Rubin so much.
God damn. Fucking hate him.
I have no problem with him. He's got a new podcast, or not a new podcast. He's got a podcast called Tetragrammaton.
And that's why I hate him.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
I know. But I tell you what, he gets good interviews out of it with the ones that I've listened to. He gets really good interviews out of it. But the thing to listen to it for is the ads. He took modern ads, and I think I think he's probably using 11 Labs or something like that. And he recreated old timey, like, you know, early radio voices. He's like, hey, you want some athletic greens there, boy? Boop-a-da-boo. and all the ads are done in that style with wacky old school music. They're a production in and of itself. And they are, I mean, I don't skip the ads. They're so fun to listen to. I mean, granted, I think for a lot of them, they're better than parts of the show. So it's well worth it just to go click on an episode, scrub and find an ad. You'll be able to tell it pretty quickly. They're fun. He did a really good job with the ads is all I got to say.
All right.
And I do like some of the interviews.
Tetragrammaton.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck ever.
Look, I like a lot of the music he's produced. I just don't like him.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about him. I just, you know, I know what I've read. Because I'm in a different industry. So, I mean, I liked his book on creativity. I thought it was pretty good. And I like his interviews on the show. So I got no beef with him. I think his beard is kind of stupid. But
all I'm saying is if you went in and to any job in the world as Rick Rubin, you'd be fired in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why I get along. I think I like him because I can't get a job.
I was about to say, if you grew a beard.
I think I might be the second coming of Rick Rubin. There we go. I found another podcast called What Next TBD. Now, how Rick Rubin did ads right, What Next TBD does them so, so wrong. This is a Slate podcast.
Hmm.
Episode opens with two 30-second pre-rolls. We do pre-rolls, but they're 15 seconds or less, I believe. They should be 15 seconds or less, but only one because we need it. So please don't judge. There's Slate, but they do two. So, and for the next 23 minutes of content, there's 5 more minutes of advertising.
Wow.
They're doing back-to-back, 2 minute, back-to-back 1 minute ads with a slight content break, then another round of two-minute ads. And I was like, I'm trying to listen to this episode. And it was a really good episode on the hack of the British Library that's still going on, the ransomware attack. And it was a great episode. It was a great show. But Jesus.
Well, like, I mean, this shouldn't be surprising for Slate or just, I mean, the internet in general, because I keep forgetting that I have ad blockers installed on my main browsers. Like, and I read Slate daily. Like I load it up a couple times a day just to see if there's any new articles. I really like their site and I like their writers. I accidentally had a different browser open because something didn't work, blah, 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 blah. And I went to Slate on a different browser that didn't have an ad blocker. I mean, their site is the same thing. It's like unusable. There are so many fucking ads on it.
You can't use the internet without an ad blocker now.
No, you can't. No. I keep forgetting. And I walk by my wife's computer all the time because she doesn't have an ad blocker. And I'm like, That's what normal people do? No, that's unusable.
Yeah. No, I just can't. That's why I stick with Brave, because Brave's built-in ad blocker is so good that yeah. I just can't, you know, I mean, I'm on Chrome right now just because it works better for this show. But, you know, 99.999999% of the time I'm on Brave because just because their ad blocker works the best, even you have to go in and turn off all the crypto shit, still works better. But anyway, what next TBD? Good show. There's another episode that's the one I found out about it from. It's called Is Your Car Tracking You? About this woman whose abusive partner used her car to track her and the dealership wouldn't do anything about it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Merlin Mann talked about that one. So I want to go listen to that. That's next on the list. But the Great British Library Hack is a fantastic episode. Just you got to have your finger on the ad skip button the whole time.
Right.
So anyway, but it's good. I think you'll like it. You'll definitely like it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Apps and doodads.
I can't believe I'm saying this, Brian, but BB Edit 15 is here. Woo!
I'm sorry, what's that?
You don't use BB Edit?
Not anymore. I haven't coded in years.
No, I don't use it for coding. I use it for, it's my Swiss Army knife text editor. It does all sorts of stuff that I want. I've got 15 documents open all the time. It's great. Seriously, I just love it. It's my notepad.
I love the program when I used it regularly. It was awesome. So 15, amazing.
Yeah, and they have ChatGPT built in now.
Oh, it does the coding for you now.
It will do that. Actually, yeah. You can. There's it's got a new whole new worksheet flow where you can tie it straight into ChatGPT. And what's really cool is you can keep multiple documents. So you have ongoing conversations in different documents. So it will remember that between the different ones, I think, which is kind of interesting. I think that's the sense that I got. But the bummer that I found out was it doesn't tie into your ChatGPT Plus account if you're already paying the $20 a month.
Oh,
it uses the API. So you have to get an API account and fund the API account separately. Now, the thing is, you can pick which model you're going to be using. Mm-hmm. And if you do ChatGPT 3.5 Turbo, I put in $10 and I used it all night long, just fucking with it and playing with it. I haven't even gotten to 1 cent yet. So,
It's relatively cheap.
It's ridiculously cheap. So it's, you know, if you just want to use the older, faster model, which it has been improving a lot. And for a lot of things, it's better than 4. If you need to use 4, just pop over to your Plus account and just do it that way. But it's nice just having it built in. So I have just a one tab open with just a general conversation that I can have going. Now, if I just need to type something in, don't have to go to the web browser. It's just right there in the app that I'm already in, which is handy. Very handy.
Yeah.
So, the upgrade, if you're a BB Edit 14 user, I think it was $29 to upgrade. It's $39 if you're upgrading from an older one. It's probably $49 if you're a new user. But if you're a BB Edit person, you're probably not going to be a new user. I don't know anybody who's going to be saying, "Ooh, I need me that fancy text editor. Let me jump on out. Get that." But us old dogs, I've been using BB Edit since version 2, I think.
I'm right there with you.
Yep.
It's a great program.
Vienna RSS is an RSS reader that is basically, it's an open source RSS reader for the Mac. I love it. I only use it for one thing. And this is what, like my regular, I use Reader for most of my day-to-day RSS news stuff. Mm-hmm. Vienna RSS does one thing really cool. You can put in an RSS feed for a podcast, select all, and hit download enclosures, and it will download every single enclosure from that feed. So if you're trying to back up or to slurp in a podcast, makes it super easy. Don't do it for our show because we pay for bandwidth. Please, don't do it for our show. Patreon or patreon.com/GOG if you want to do that shit.
Well, there goes our normal positive payment from ads.
Yeah.
We're screwed now. We're going to get a bill.
Oh, Jesus. But anyway, if you want to go check it out on somebody else's show, by all means, check it out. But it's a great free RSS reader. It's bare bones. It just reminds me of the old days of interfaces, at least, because it is not polished at all.
Yeah, I actually like it. I might actually try it out as just a regular RSS reader.
Yeah, it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yep. And I want to talk a little bit more about SetApp this week because I've been diving into it so much. I found a new one this week that I really like called Permute.
Okay.
It's basically just a drag and drop converter, like a file format converter. So if I just wanted what I use it for.
Like Handbrake?
Kind of, but not. I mean, you can convert image formats in it too. things like that.
And that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Handbrake is, you know, when you're trying to transcode a movie. Specific. I use that specifically for movies. Permute is just a really fast drag and drop. So like there's another one that I use on setup called Downy. So you drop in a YouTube URL. You use Downy to pull down the video that you want. And if you want to take that video and just like pull the audio out of it, you can usually take it into QuickTime, export as audio. Then it's an AAC file that then you have to reconvert, blah, 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 blah. Permute, you just drag in the movie and just pick which kind of audio format you want to export. And within like half a second, boom, there's your audio file. It's so nice. And it's
cool.
Part of the Set App bundle. So, you know, there's a link in the show notes for Permute. Also, a link to Get Set App if you want. It's only $9 a month. And I think Permute's $30 a year. So it's another one of those ones you're going to be saving a shit ton of money on. So I'm just like every week I'm going through Set App trying to find new stuff to play with because there's so much. It's fun.
Very cool. Well, Apple has finally ended Samsung's decade-plus run as the global smartphone shipment leader, according to the IDC, or the International Data Corporation. They sound horrible. So Apple shipped 234.6 million units in 2023, which is equivalent to 20.1% of the market share. In comparison, Samsung shipped 226.6 million units for 19.4%. So just squeaked past them. This probably isn't surprising. I mean, certainly there's a move among the youths these days that if you want to be cool, you've got an iPhone, not anything from Samsung or anyone else. And and it's just as we're living on our phones, why wouldn't you want the best?
Well, some people like Android. So. I don't hang out with those people, but yeah, some people do like Android.
And there's a new Apple update in the U.S. App Store. U.S. App Store only. It's good to point out they're relaxing a key App Store rule that has long been a source of frustration to developers. They will allow U.S. developers now to link to outside websites for in-app purchases, according to their updated developer guidelines. However, they still want their cut. I don't know how they're going to get it anymore, which is what everybody's pointing out. It's like now they want app developers to submit their financials to them and all these other things so they can still get their money. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. So it's like
just let people do it, for fuck's sake.
It's like the honor bucket at the snack jar in the back office of your thing. It's always all the Snickers are gone and there's no money in the box. So.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen, I think. So they're either going to roll it back, which they probably can't do because of all the lawsuits, which is why they did this in the first place to get ahead of it. But I think the age of the dominance of payments via Apple through their app store is ending.
Okay. Well, other things that are ending. Alexa. Remember Alexa?
I am so sad about this because I'm all in on these things.
Well, Amazon wants you to start ponying up some money for Alexa.
Nope. I did. I bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you didn't get a subscription, Brian. Everything's a subscription nowadays. Mm-hmm. They are testing Alexa Plus, which they say is going to be an enhanced version of Alexa, which will do apparently more things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would say, Alexa, start a timer for 5 minutes any better than start a timer. That's all I ever use it for.
I play music, I do timers, and I listen to radio. That's it.
That's all
and
you need.
It's fantastic for that.
Yep.
And I do voice calls with my, or video calls with my mom. It's fantastic.
You got one of those. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
This is crazy that they're trying to do this. This is just, it's Amazon. Like, they need more money, you know?
Well, the same to be said for Apple with their app. Same thing. It's like, just let it go. Just let it be.
Yeah.
It's a good product. It works. You don't need that much more money.
They're maximizing
shareholder to have all value. The monies.
Yeah. Got to get that shareholder value, buddy. It's all it's all about. Now, this one I thought was kind of fun. I hate the title of this. It says, Mark Newsom designed Swarovski's world's first AI binoculars that identify species on their own. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a pair of binoculars that has bird recognition built in, which is, I think, really kind of cool.
Hot dog or not.
Yeah. Yep. That's a bird. So, but it's got more than 9,000 birds and it says other wildlife built into it. So it's kind of like a digital camera, you know, with a zoom on it. And it takes that, does character recognition on the birds and tells you what kind of bird it is. I think it's kind of neat.
That is neat.
Yeah. I don't have a price on it, but I'm sure it is a gazillion dollars because it's Swarovski, which doesn't make anything cheap. So But it looks kind of cool. They of course they're pretty. So we'll see. We'll see what it's going to be like. They come out February 1st. So we'll get a price on that soon. But I think, see, now that's a decent version or decent use of the technology. I still don't call it AI. It's, you know.
No.
It's image recognition built into it.
Pattern recognition. It's image recognition. Yeah, so, exactly.
Anyway, it's cool stuff. Cool stuff.
It's generally intelligent.
Generally. But is it artificial?
Well, according to Gizmodo, Jason, the self-checkout nightmare might finally be ending. Don't ring the funeral bells just yet, but the self-checkout kiosk horror show could be nearing its end. Stores across the country are reversing course on the machines, and consensus is growing among analysts and insiders that self-checkout has been a disaster for consumers and retailers alike, according to a new report in the BBC. I agree 100%. It is horrible. These machines suck. The people that use them suck. Everybody sucks. But that's just people, so maybe we should just end Earth.
Let's do that. Okay. Yeah. Skip to the end. Skip to the end.
Yep.
Just blow up the planet.
So unsurprisingly, the biggest problem is theft.
Yeah.
People steal. Not only is it easy to steal from self-checkout machines, it can be hard not to steal from them because they're so crap. And it can just, yeah, it's just, of course, this was a bad idea all along, and it's horrible, and let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not getting any better. They just put in two at my local Ralph's that have conveyor belts on them. Uh-huh. That are way, they take up the space of three of the regular ones, and it's just right. one, and the conveyor belt never works. Nobody can mm-hmm. figure out how to work it, and nobody ever mm-hmm. uses it. It just, they both sit there unused because anybody that has more than two items can't figure out how to make it because it won't let you scan the next item until the other item has like gone halfway down the belt. It's so stupid. Oh,
God. That's awesome.
So
dumb.
Stupid. So stupid. Yeah. Speaking of stupid things, Brian, you still use WordPress, right?
My company does. I personally try to avoid it as much as possible, but yes, I have been logged in a few times.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I have to use it three times a week to post some shows for one of my clients. And I want to know why in this day and age, because WordPress is not new.
Nope.
It's not new. I remember going to parties at Mullenweg's house for like version 1.4 and 1.5 when they were released.
Yeah.
And this was like in 2003 and 4. It's been 20 years. Okay. Why the fuck doesn't Command Z undo the last action you did? Right now, it will undo a random item from the stack of the past 10 things you've done. And you have to figure out which one it did, because if you accidentally hit Command Z, the first thing you do is, oh, Jesus, what did I do?
It's so on brand for WordPress, though.
It kind of is, I guess. It kind of is. I just don't get it. I don't get it. just a quick example. There's 10 things I have to do in this post. The second thing I do is upload the featured image. Mm-hmm. Drag it in. That's in there. Then I do all this other stuff. And one time I was making a word a link, and I hit the wrong thing, and I made it bold instead. And I just wanted to unbold it, so I hit Command Z. The featured image goes away. And like the thing that I was doing was step 8, and step 2 was the featured image. It took the featured image out on Command Z. That's how little sense it makes. So I just had to share that. That's all.
I hate WordPress with a fire.
You and me both, brother. Squarespace for the win.
Come on, advertise with us, goddammit.
This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me.
DeleteMe scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at DeleteMe took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your DeleteMe plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with promo code GOG. That's hellomood.com. Code GOG.
At the library.
It's been a while since we talked about some books, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a break and I checked out Darwin's Radio by Greg Bear.
I remember loving that book.
It is a great book.
Okay, good. I don't remember anything about the book except I liked it.
Yeah, it's very hard sci-fi, which I kind of like.
Greg Bear is good at that.
Yeah. It's I think I've never read anything by him before. So I'm gonna probably dip my toe, and I'll finish I have to read something in between, then I'll get to the next book in the series. There's two books in the series. So I think the next one's Darwin's Children.
Yeah, I read the whole series and I remember really, really liking it. So he's one of the killer bees. Greg Bear, David Brin, and Gregory Benford, also the guys that wrote the continuation of Foundation, the three of them. They all did one book each. So, yeah.
Okay. I've never read anything this is my first book by this bee. I haven't read anything by the other bees yet.
So. They're all good. They're all good. They were all buddies. So they all got along really well. All three of them were pretty good hard sci-fi writers. So highly recommend
them. Okay. I think I might go down that road for a while because I just need something new.
Yeah.
And of course, something old is new nowadays. So mm-hmm. I'll take it. I got this book. It's called This Book May Save Your Life, Everyday Health Hacks to Worry Less and Live Better by Dr. Karen Rajan.
Okay.
He's a TikTok doctor that I got turned on to.
Oh, great.
He is funny as shit. I'm telling you, he's funny, but he's a surgeon. Mm-hmm. He's a full bore surgeon over in England, but he's extremely funny. And all of his tips are great. I mean, I don't want to ruin it. So this is just one of those books. It's a very easy read. There are like pro tips in every section. It basically goes through the whole body and gives you pro tips on things you should do and shouldn't do. I just like how his his main premise is the human body is not some beautifully designed machine that, you know, is spiriting our soul throughout the cosmos. He says it's a hodgepodge of hacks put together that shouldn't actually work, but it does. So
nice.
Yeah. He's like, if you knew everything that I knew about your body, you would not wake up in the morning because you'd be so terrified that it wasn't going to work today. I love it.
So, I'm going to have to check that out. It sounds like a Bill Bryson. He did the Human Body book, which I really enjoyed, except this actually has actionable tips.
Yes, actionable tips by a guy who actually cuts people open for a living. So
very cool.
Yep.
I will check that out. Yeah. So we haven't done At the Library in a while. I had intended to spend most of my winter break reading. That did not happen. Christmas, kid, all that sort of stuff. But when I got back, I finally got around to reading again. And I read and finished System Collapse, Murderbot Diaries, Book 7 by Martha Wells.
And?
Yeah. I'm done with this series.
Time to put a pin in it.
It's not that it's bad. It's just the same damn thing over and over again.
See, yeah, that's what I ran into. I like by book 5 or book 4, I was done. I was just like, you know, I've read this book 3 times already.
Yeah, and this is more of the same. And it didn't end, and it's obviously open for an 8th book, and there we go. And I'm not going to read the 8th book unless I hear that something drastically different happens. I guess it's hard to have character development when your character is a murder bot.
Yeah, yeah. I think I read somewhere that it's supposed to go to 9. 9 okay. is going to be the finish, but
I don't know.
And it's getting turned into a TV series, so who the fuck?
Yeah, who knows? I got through it. It was fine. It had moments that, you know, made me laugh or chuckle. But again, it's the exact same moments that made me laugh and chuckle in books 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you've got a bad memory, the Murderbot series might be for you.
Pretty much, yeah. So well written, but it's the same book over and over again. I saw this article over on Gizmodo as well, since Dune 2 is actually coming out as a movie soon, which isn't Dune 2. It's Dune 1 Part 2. Yep. We found David Lynch's lost Dune 2 script, which is actually about Dune 2. yeah, it was an interesting read, and I would have loved to have seen it. I'm not going to spoil anything for the fans out there, but go check out the link in the show notes. What he was going to do was pretty damn cool. So aww. Really sad we didn't get to see it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wait for my brother, Baron. He is the Kwisak Haderach.
You did that really well.
It's my favorite part of the movie, man. I've seen that movie.
Dude, it was actually a really good movie. I loved it. Like,
yeah.
I know we shit on Foundation for not staying close to the book, and certainly David Lynch's Dune did not stay close to the book, but it was great.
I loved it. I loved the long version, so... Mm-hmm. I'll slide you a digital copy if you want.
I actually, yes, please. Okay. I haven't watched it in years. I would love to.
It's so good. It has legs. It really does.
Chaka.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome to The Dark Side with Dave, with podcast superhost Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the CyberWire podcast for all your cybersecurity news, the co-host of Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, discussing how humans are mean, the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, because people are nosy, and the host of Control Loop, because industrial machines are going to take over the world. Hello, Dave.
Hello, gents. Nice to be back.
Hello.
It's a very, it's a snowy day here in Maryland. We have about 6 inches on the ground, and this week has been the first time we've had really measurable snow in about 2 years. So I'm loving it. I'm welcoming it.
I hate it.
You're done.
I'm done with it.
It's worn off.
We actually haven't had that much snow up here this year, so it's so far so good as far as I'm concerned. The first couple of years I lived here, we got pummeled. So I'm over it.
Yeah. No, we're still in the novelty stage. It's been long enough.
Oh, isn't it pretty?
Right, exactly. Oh, look, it drives slow for a little while.
Then it all turns gray and black and mushy and hardens up into ice, and then it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's 65 and sunny here, so.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
As always.
Good times.
So I can't believe it. We come back from the break and we don't talk about Star Wars, because there was Star Wars news and neither of you guys talked about it. I'm like, what's
well,
happening?
Well, here's the thing with Star Wars news, Jason. I've been burned one too many times. Shows get announced and movies get announced and canceled quietly, and we never hear about them again. So until there's a news article about production beginning, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well,
gosh. Star Wars has burned me too many times with this sort of thing. But yeah, there is a bunch of stuff coming, which is kind of exciting. But will it come?
Yeah.
Okay, Schrodinger Star Wars. I get it. Okay. Well, there may or may not be a Mandalorian movie. So, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that's going to happen. We'll see. At this point, I just want another Osaka.
I'm ready. I want another Andor. I don't even care about Osaka. I want Andor.
Now that has begun production, so we can talk about that. That is coming. Pedro Pascal or
wrong show.
Whoever's the star of what's his face? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
he was at one of the award shows that just happened and said he's only got 7 days left of shooting on it. So
all right, it'll be out in 2 years once they finish VFX. Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we'll have to wait another 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't do these fast enough, I got to say. Just again, like I said, slap it on Midjourney. We don't need all those fancy special effects. Let's get this moving. Everybody will have six fingers, but they're aliens. Who cares?
Right. Yeah,
they should be able to do a Buck Rogers a week. Come on, guys.
That's true.
How do you guys feel about the idea of Mandalorian becoming a movie?
It's weak, personally.
You know, what I heard is it's going to wrap up all three of the series. It's going to have all the characters in it. They all come together. It's going to be the end of the story, as it were. That's fine.
And it's going to be a musical.
Hey, you know.
Now I'm in.
It sounds horrible, but I saw that Star Trek episode. That was fantastic.
That was really good. They may have saved the musical sci-fi genre altogether.
Mm. Yes.
Do you guys remember they did a musical episode of The Love Boat?
No. Yeah,
they did. There was a musical episode of The Love Boat, and I forget who has The Love Boat right now, but you can find it. And Ethel Merman is in it, and it's the entire show is pretty much sung through. The whole cast does musical numbers, and it's just this funny little anomaly. And it's
I'm sure the Isaac the bartender sequence is in no way racist and has aged very well.
Yeah. There was the time when the Pointer Sisters came on The Love Boat and they sang He's So Shy with Isaac, which was cute also. But no, The Love Boat musical, if you enjoy 70s kitsch, it's that. And it's just a weird one of the endless list of weird 70s anomalies when it came to these sorts of variety shows. Now, back to The Mandalorian.
It's on Paramount Plus, by the way.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I might have to fire that up tonight.
Yeah, Love Boat is one of the shows that we will put on to fall asleep to at night.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. And as far as I know, I've never... I asked this question to many different audiences, and I still believe that The Love Boat is the only hour-long program with a laugh track.
Oh.
Well, that is a deep dive trivia question at the end.
That seriously
is. Yeah. I've can't think of any other, you know, how many other hour-long comedy shows are there? And Love Boat has a laugh track. You know, it's sort of Love Boat always has three stories in every episode of The Love Boat, and they have a laugh track. So if anybody out there can think of another hour-long show that has a laugh track, please let us know.
Yes,
I've been unable to find one. So back to The Mandalorian. one of the things that's interesting to me that I believe we've touched on here before is that because you no longer have to go to the cinema to see amazing special effects, it kind of makes this being a movie not as big a deal.
Well, when they say movie, too, it will be released on Disney Plus at the same time. So it's really just a 2-hour episode.
Right. Oh, do you think, really?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have to go to a theater to see this. It's just going to be, you know, a movie, episode.
But you know they're going to put it out in the theaters.
Oh, they'll put it out in theaters, but there's no way that they're not going to do a simultaneous release.
Yeah. I don't know. They've been trying to – I think they might do a staggered release on that just to make a few extra bucks.
We'll see.
The other thing that I wonder about is, you know, you have a movie. So what is that? 2.5 hours probably being a Star Wars movie, which is a very different style of storytelling than a 10-hour season.
Yeah.
And so we're used to these characters in that 10-hour season framework. How different will it be? Maybe it'll be great because it'll be accelerated and all that. But I think about how much of my enjoyment of Star Wars lately has been with the series and not the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't help wondering what we're in for.
And the Mandalorians were only 30 minutes. They were short. So,
Yeah. It's true. They were as long as they needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done a good job of that. So we'll see. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Jason wrote in. This is not a different me, Jason, obviously.
Different Jason.
And it's not for you, literally. It says it begins with, "This is for Brian and Dave."
I'm going to go get some coffee. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
I am driving to Disney World from Texas this next week and wanted to get your insight on the Galaxy's Edge. How much time should I set aside to enjoy it all? And is there anything I should avoid? Thanks for your help, and may the Force be with you. Too many unknowns here. Jason, have you been to Disneyland before? Have you been to Disney World? Have you seen Epcot? If not, then you need to see it all. If you have, then spend your entire time in Galaxy's Edge because it's awesome.
Right. I will say my most recent trip to Disney World, which was my first time seeing Galaxy's Edge, we spent an entire day at the Disney Studios. Galaxy's Edge was where we started our day, and it was amazing. We did the Millennium Falcon ride first. We had a meal at the light hors d'oeuvres at the cantina, which, let's just back up a second and say. Open your wallet
and your heart.
Yes. Because Galaxy's Edge, everything is
you will
very
leave
expensive.
With lots of stuff.
That's right.
You're a big fan. Yeah.
You'll leave with lots of stuff and nothing is inexpensive. If you thought Disney was expensive before, wait till you get there now. the Galaxy's Edge meal for there were five of us was probably $250, you know, for drinks and snacks and a tip and all that sort of thing. So just be prepared for that. So you can get over that before you get in, and that way it won't interfere with your enjoyment of that space. Just know you're going to drop some cash in Galaxy's Edge. But we did all that in the morning, and then I believe we paid to have a time slot for the other big ride. Rise of the Resistance. Thank you. And that was later in the afternoon. So we went and did a bunch of the other things in the park and then came back for our Rise of the Resistance time and rode that. And it was great. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's like it's many dreams and wishes and fantasies fulfilled, you know.
I agree. When I went with my kid, we did the rest of the park first. We kind of did a bunch of rides. He loved Haunted Mansion and all that sort of stuff. And then we worked our way over to Star Wars Land and didn't want to leave it. That's how much fun it is. Like it's just, just walking around because they did such a good job with the visuals and just the buildings and the rocks and they're piping the music in and characters are walking around. Like my son had a whole relationship going with Kylo Ren because he said, yes, he would join the dark side. And then every time Kylo Ren saw him walking around the rest of the Star Wars land, he would point at him and come with me. And it was great. They just do a wonderful job. So if you're a Star Wars fan, once you walk into that land, you're not going to want to leave it. So plan
That's
for a
true.
Lot of time there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it is quite wonderful, but I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think. Do you need more than one day to do? Because you experienced it in Disneyland, and I experienced it at Disney World. And Jason doesn't say He just says he's driving to Disney. So he's in Texas, so it could go either way.
He said Disney World. So, yeah.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Which is, I mean, Disney World is a whole other proposition. Like, I'm planning that trip with my family, and it's going to be a multi-day extravaganza because there's just so much to do there.
Right. Yeah. I will say that the last time, on our last trip, which was a big family trip, we had not been in several years because of COVID, we bought Park Hopper passes, which allow you to go from park to park in the same day. And we ended up not using the park hopping at all.
Because you do a day per park. Yeah,
that's right. But what we thought was we were going to, like, you know, oh, maybe we won't spend an entire day at Epcot. Or maybe if we have a few hours, we'll want to jump somewhere else.
Are and you that just kidding? Didn't you end can up drink happening. Around the world at Epcot. You plan for 2 days.
Well, yeah. Epcot's very different as an adult. So I think next time we probably won't get the Park Hopper tickets because they are pricey, more pricey than the regular tickets, which are pricey. But we had a great time. And I'm envious of you, Jason, that you're on your way. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be going back a year from now or so, in March of 25.
That's what we're thinking as well. Maybe we'll do a meetup. Right? Yeah.
That'd be great.
We'll come on, there. Jason, get in there.
Yeah, we'll be there the first.
Our Jason.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good.
We could record live from the Millennium Falcon, live from the cantina.
Yeah, Disney would have no problem with that. We're setting up our stuff.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have a good time, Jason. I'm envious of you going there for the first time. And I'm looking forward to going.
Oh, man, that first time you turn the corner and see the Millennium Falcon there.
Yeah.
Life size, as it were.
Yeah.
It's nerd boner.
Yep. Total.
Yeah.
My jaw dropped. A little misty. It was great.
Yeah. I saw it. I showed you guys and my wife videotaped it. And my youngest son said to me, Dad, I think that's the first time I've seen you cry.
Now's a great time to tell you I'm gay.
I'm trying to find some romantic
what the
music
hell is
in this
that?
Yeah.
You should have found the music from the bar in Police Academy.
Oh god. We're gonna need
anyways. Have a great time, Jason. You're gonna be blown away.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of blown away, though, I saw this article, Meet the Disney Imagineer Behind the VR Breakthrough That Is the HoloTile. Mm-hmm. There's an article about Lanny Smoot. Lanny is no slouch. Yeah. I think he overcompensated for the name that he was given.
That actually sounds like a character in the cantina.
Doesn't it really does.
It's the guy who lost his arm, right?
Yeah
probably.
Yeah, we used to call him Lanny. Now we call him Lefty. The thing about this is the demo video. It's this new floor that they've made where you can have multiple people on the floor and you can walk and stand in place. And it is like the holy grail of VR. So you can actually walk and move and still stay in the space. And I don't know. It's just really cool. You know, there are different things out there right now. There's one that is like a giant turntable and you're strapped into it and you can run in any direction and all this stuff. Right. You can put it in your house and it is basically birth control hardware. You will never get another date if you put this in your living room.
Right.
I've seen one that's like a giant gerbil ball. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen that one too. Yeah. Yeah, they're all pretty sad. This thing looks sexy, low profile, and cool. So. Mm-hmm. As someone who has recently done a VR experience, I wish we'd have had this. This would have made it so much more fun. But the thing is, they need harnesses because somebody will fall and trip.
Yeah.
You need some kind of support mechanism because it's hard enough to stay standing when you're on solid ground with a VR headset on and zombies are flying at you. Trying to do it while actually moving might cause some broken bones.
But. A couple of things I noticed about it. They never showed anybody running on it. Everyone was walking at a
slow pace.
Slow pace. So that's where it is right now, but it will get better. Mm-hmm. And they put it inside an environment that relies on projection rather than goggles. And so I think that helps with the balance issue.
They showed up with goggles on, though.
Did they?
Yeah, in the demo, okay. there are people with goggles on. I think they were just showing what they were seeing on the projection on the outside.
I see. So as an outsider, you could see what they were seeing. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. The other thing I wondered is if you could get this, if it got to the point where it could support someone running, would it have enough speed and power to act self-balancing like a Segway?
See, that's what I was wondering too, because it needs to have some kind of force feedback when you're stopping to keep you from. Because all I can think of is just like running on ice, and you try and go, and you just boom, falling back. You know,
right? When you lean into it, and it because it senses that you're tipping forward and slide your legs back underneath of you.
Yeah, yeah, and it looked like the floor that it was on was kind of at a downward slope a little bit too. Hmm. It wasn't purely flat. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot, but I mean, it's just in, you know, it's a beta product right now. It's just they're working on it for some of the parks, but it is neat. It is the neatest version I've seen of this kind of solution to that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool to see that they still have that mojo in Disney Imagineering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a neat video.
Yep.
All right. Well, at this point, Disney should actually be sponsoring this segment.
Yeah.
But they are not, unfortunately. So
I just take free park passes, right?
Me too.
Screw you guys. I want the money. Sorry.
Well,
yeah.
I'll drive down to Orange County and scalp mine.
Okay. You could do that. Trust me.
Yeah, I can do that nowadays.
You know, when my wife worked at Disney, and this was in the 90s, it was a common thing to do for employees because they'd earn park passes that they could give to people, and they'd wait and, you know, they'd meet people in the line and just kind of let them in.
Yeah.
It was a nice, they called it pixie dust.
Yep. Yep. I remember that. We did that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So a little bit of tech news here, just because I thought this one was funny and it's not surprising to us, but obviously was surprising to some other people. Google now admits it could collect data in Chrome's incognito mode. So incognito mode basically...
What the fuck is incognito mode then?
Well, it hides things from yourself. That's about it. Okay. It hides it from yourself on your own system, but they get all the data still and they collect it. And in case you think they were doing this of their own free will, no, there was a $5 billion lawsuit that made them change the disclaimer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically just, you know, Snoopy wife mode.
Yeah.
Yes,
pretty much.
Exactly.
I use incognito mode once a year around the holidays, so my wife doesn't get ads for everything that I'm buying for her.
That's funny.
No, I know you're a liar because everybody on the planet uses it for 10 minutes a day for porn mode. So there you go.
Well, basically, yeah, you know, you don't need to.
I totally lost my train of thought. Move on.
Moving on.
Mine's stuck in porn mode.
Yeah, exactly. My brain was stuck in porn mode. So, as we are recording this,
speaking of porn mode.
Yeah, exactly. We are about, I don't know, 4 hours into Apple Vision Pro pre-orders beginning. Now, I haven't seen any live reports on how that's going or anything. I know that the Apple Store was down earlier today, as it usually is, but this is something we haven't really talked much about here. What are you guys thinking as this is becoming something real that people are going to do? Do you have any thoughts of demoing one at your local Apple Store? Do you care? What do you think about this?
I'll let you go, Brian.
I like it. The online demos and walkthroughs that I've seen are really cool. I would like to have one at some point, but not at the price point that they have now. Yeah. I would like to go demo one, but I'm not going to wait hours, which apparently is the case at the moment at most Apple stores. You've just got to, everybody wants to try this thing out. So once the brouhaha has died down a bit, I will find myself at an Apple store and give it a go and see. By all accounts, once it's Apple, it's going to be good, right? So, I'm into it, but as with a lot of this stuff, it will probably be version two or three before I get one. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. How about you, Jason? Jason's already pre-ordered.
Nope, no. See, I, beside it being ridiculously expensive, I did get somebody that I owe them an email too that wrote me back and said when I joked last week about being sponsored to become a developer, somebody's like, "Well, tell me what you're thinking about. We might be able to work something out." I'm like, oh, it's kind of a joke. I ain't
porn
got time
mode.
For that, but
yeah.
Porn mode is what. Yeah, right. No. For decades, all of us old Apple dogs, that we lived by a maxim. And I'm going to stick by it for this one. Never buy first-gen Apple hardware, ever, because it is buggy, it's way overpriced, and the second version is going to be 10 times as good and half the price.
Yep.
So sticking with that one on this one. And plus, I've seen some pictures of people of it who have gotten it, and it's in the wild, and it does not look as good in your living room as it does in the demo videos in their living room with the professional lighting. You still look like a twat.
And $1 million house.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
mean much anymore. A $10 million house.
Yeah.
Tastefully decorated.
Yeah. My $1,200 month apartment with a $3,000 headset. No, thanks. No, I'm just waiting to see on this one. And it's, you know, I don't have the money for it, but it's also, I just don't think it's ready yet. I mean, even like I said, even Netflix isn't even going to be out for it yet. It's going to be one of those things where by the time the software is finally catching up, they're going to be revving up for Rev 2.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, this is going to be one of those cycles where it's like, unless you're a company who's developing for it or an independent developer who's developing for it, fine, go get them. I think consumers who buy these are just rich people who want to put it on their shelves and say they got one. Because I don't think it's going to be that useful.
I agree with you, Jason. I think like 80% of this is going to be people who want to develop for it that have bought it already. And it's probably sold out at this point because they didn't have a lot of them. So
I just went to the site and it said the pre-orders are still open. So they still got some.
All right. Cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what the non-pro version of this could look like. And what I wonder is, could we see a version that basically uses your phone as the CPU and, you know, uses the everything that's already built into your phone to drive a stripped down display?
I don't think Apple's going to do that.
No.
Because I think it's just going to be too janky and low quality.
Hmm.
And that's not an Apple move.
And I think the processors are going to be completely different. I think because I think this thing has so many specialty processors for the recognition, the image recognition, you know, all the depth issues. Yeah. I think it's a completely different hardware beast from just a phone. I mean, the phone can augment it somehow. But I think for the most part, I think a lot of it's going to stay on device.
But what could you possibly cut out to make a non-pro version? What
stupid screen on the front. That shows a video of your eyes. It comes with a sticker. They take a picture of you and they give you a sticker of your eyes to put on the front. There, that saves you $600.
Right. It'll be like those funny glasses. Yeah, those funny glasses you bought in the back of a comic book.
Yeah.
Just stick those to the front of it. The last thing I wanted to touch on here for our grumpiness theme, this is something that made me grumpy. This was an article from Cory Doctorow, and he was complaining about mostly the article.
Wait,
Cory
Doctorow was complaining?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Mostly never. The article was about the App Store and how Apple is going about the various fights that they're having with the App Store being monopolistic and all that sort of thing. But what made me grumpy was this paragraph that was near the beginning of his article, and I will read it. It says, "Apple's most valuable intangible asset isn't its patents or copyrights. It's an army of people who believe that using products from a $2.89 trillion multinational makes them members of an oppressed religious minority whose identity is coterminal with the interests of Apple's shareholders."
Wow.
Now, here's why this made me grumpy, is that from my point of view, this is written from the perspective of someone whose knowledge of Apple or deep experience with Apple probably came at or after the iMac or the iPod, or this is not someone who lived professionally through the era where day to day we did not know if Apple was going to survive or not. and how important that was to us. You know, I owned a video production company, and our existence depended on the fact that we were running all of this stuff on Macintosh computers, and it barely worked, and it was, you know, spitting baling wire. But, and also, there were no mobile devices. You know, there was Apple, and there was macOS, and there was Windows, and that was it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I know people are yelling at them, what about Linux? But, you know, there was macOS and there was Windows.
Oh, no. Before macOS, there was System 7, System 8, and System 9.
That's right.
If you know those, you have a certain type of PTSD that most people don't have. How many times did you reboot today?
It's a great point. It's a great point that, you know, you'd be rendering out stuff and, like, put police tape around the desk because if somebody bumped the mouse, the computer could crash. That's where we were.
Yeah, yeah, that's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. That was true.
Yeah. So having lived through all of that, I think that's where the mindset of people who are the kind of Apple fans that I consider myself to be, and I don't know where you guys sit on this, but we have the PTSD from that period of time. And to see Apple from almost not existing anymore, you know, they were going to be bought by IBM. They were going to be bought by HP. They were, you know, even Steve Jobs said, you strip it out, sell it off, and shut it down before he came back to them.
Yep.
Now they're one of the biggest companies in the world, and yay for them. But this part of this article rubbed me the wrong way because I think so easily dismisses and so quickly dismisses what was, for those of us who lived through it, a very real time that had great impact on us.
Well, it implies also that Apple didn't earn where they are, and they certainly have.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All they did was make the most successful consumer electronics product in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So
idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like, I was a PC guy back in the day. I wasn't an Apple guy, and I was dismissive of the cult of Apple as well. But now, you know, I get it. Like, I use almost exclusively Apple products now. And, and I understand it, and it makes sense. And it's a good company. It really is. They do what they do, and they do it very well. And to be dismissive of that is just petty, I think.
I was too, by the way. I was a DOS guy, and I, like many people at the time, I thought the Mac was mostly a toy. And then I started dating the woman who is now my wife, and she had a Mac SE 30, and so I started using it. And the more I used it, the more I found, I really like using this, and wow, this is pretty nice. And next thing I knew, that's all I wanted to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met Corey back like around 2000. It was right around when Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom came out. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he had already been poo-pooing Apple and was using a ThinkPad running Linux. So this was almost two decades ago or over 2 decades ago. So he's got a long history of shitting on Apple. And, you know, some of his arguments are not wrong when it comes to the App Store duopoly that, you know, that Apple and Google have and things like that. But he does have an overall tendency to just shit on Apple people. So I'm used to it. I'm used to it. And you got to find the gems in the poop in some of this.
Nothing generates clicks like shitting on Apple. Mm. Right?
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me vent.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this Apple/Disney advertised segment.
That's right. That's right. Send your park tickets to
nice.
GOG.show.
Yes. I can't wait to go. We got to plan this trip, Dave. I'm going to make sure that we go at the same time.
Yeah.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon this week, we've got no one.
I'm not entirely sure about that because Patreon's email system is so crap and I haven't logged in.
Okay. So, well,
sometimes they send emails, sometimes they don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're a new Patreon subscriber, we'll get to you next week. Hopefully, maybe if we can figure it out. But just remember, $3 a month gets you all versions of the show ad-free and relatively sooner than everybody else.
If we're having a good day. Yeah.
If we're having a good day. And they're in high res. I actually got shit for saying it was in high res because they're like, it's a podcast. What's high res? Well, the version that everybody gets, the normal folks get it at 64 kilobits, 44.1. If you get it on Patreon, it's, 192 at 48K. So it is actually higher res. So there, just to put a button in that.
And over at PayPal, we got Natalie, Linda, Dag, Blake Bowling, Andrew, Nathaniel, Brian, Ramsey, and Joseph, who sent us a note, which normally we talk about, but I think we're too tired. Sorry. We'll write you back.
Thanks, Joe. Okay. Brian's a little tired today. Over the tip jar, we've got Sean, Theodore, Sean, and Karen. Thank you all so much. And no reviews this week. Ooh.
Well, everybody's got the winter blahs.
It's cold out there. You should be staying inside listening to Grumpy Old Geeks, yeah, writing reviews and signing up for Patreon.
That's right. Get on it, people.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. Show notes and links to everything we talked about today are at gog.show/632. Try saying that 10 times fast. Maybe I'm tired too. gog.show/donate is the place to drop us a few bills so we can keep bringing you this top-notch entertainment. Sharing the show with your friends and enemies and anyone in between is free and can be almost as good as cash. At gog.show, you can find a link to our Discord channel if you want to chat with us and other show fans. And head over to gog.show/contact to send us your feedback, comments, or links to cool shit that you think we should talk about. gog.show/review is where you can toss us a review and preferably 5 stars that we can read on the air. Stay grumpy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.